But first, as I said, we're going over to Greece, where we are joined on the line by Sean Binder, originally from Castle Gregory, who was standing trial at the Court of Appeal in Lesbos in Greece, along with 23 other migrant rescue volunteers. Last evening, the news came true that that court in Greece had acquitted Sean of all the charges against him, including money laundering and smuggling. And this has been hanging over Sean for almost a decade now. Sean, good morning. Thank you for joining us on Radio Kerry. First of all, how are you feeling?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. I am feeling, well, very ambivalent. On the one hand, obviously, I'm delighted that I am not going to prison for 20 years. On the other hand, I won't be spending 20 years on a Greek island, which is very sad indeed. But in general, it has been a fantastic outcome. And frankly, the only outcome that should have ever been available to the court.
Will you remind us of the circumstances that led you to face all these charges, you and 23 other migrant rescue volunteers? This all goes back almost 10 years ago when you were volunteering on the Greek island of Lesbos.
Yeah, that's right. I was doing my studies in 2015 and 16 when, of course, the so-called migration crisis was reaching its peak. And then after I had left Dublin, I went to London to do my master's. And then I thought, look, I have some skills from spending time down in Castle Gregory. There's a wonderful dive center in the Maharees where I was trained up to be a rescue diver. And I thought, look, I know about people drowning in the Mediterranean. I don't think they should be drowning in the Mediterranean. And I might have some skills to go and help. And so I volunteered for 3 months with a small Greek organization on the island of Lesbos. Lesbos, of course, is the island where tens of thousands of people passed through as they came from Turkey to Europe to seek refuge during the war in Syria. And I volunteered for about 3 months until I began coordinating the search and rescue, which meant that basically I was managing the rescue team. So if there was a boat in distress or there were people injured on the shoreline, we would go and respond with medical doctors and interpreters and other rescue volunteers. And mostly it was just to lend a hand to do, you know, distributing some blankets or some bottles of water. But every now and again, someone was at risk of drowning or of hypothermia, for example, which can be deadly in its later stages. And we would help them. And then in about, what was it? It was February 2018, at around 2 a.m., the police arrived, which isn't actually all that unusual because, ironically, our organization had won awards from the European Coast Guard agency, Frontex. We had worked with the police for years. In fact, we had trained the police to do CPR because they didn't know how to do it before we helped them. So they arrived, and then they suggested we were doing something illegal, but it was very vague exactly what they meant. Nevertheless, we were detained for 2 nights, and then we were released. And then for 6 months, we continued working because we assumed that the arrest was an anomaly, that nothing would amount to it, because, of course, we had done nothing wrong. We'd cooperated with the Coast Guard all the years that we had been there as an organization. And yet then, 6 months later, in August of 2018, I was formally charged and then, in fact, detained for 3 months in prison. And it was when I was handcuffed to a murder on the way to a prison institution that I suddenly realized that this was very serious, and we were charged with, as you mentioned, money laundering, facilitating illegal entry or smuggling.
People smuggling. And how did you feel about that? I mean, very, very serious charges and heinous charges as well, to be accused of exploiting people, of human trafficking, in effect, when you were there to help people, to help save vulnerable people's lives. How did that make you feel?
Oh, it was so jarring. I honestly didn't really know how to process it at first. I felt a little betrayed. Being in pretrial detention, which is a prison, one assumes that it's not going to be with a general population of prisoners, but of course it is, just with convicts. And I shared a cell with 17 or 16 other individuals, all of whom, you know, were convicted felons. And all I had done, and it wasn't all that impressive, because more often than not, I didn't really help anyone. I was just available to help if something happened. All I had done was stand around with a first aid kit and, you know, a bottle of water in my hand ready to help. Something that I am confident you would have done if you had seen someone who was thirsty or who was cold or who was at risk of drowning. Wouldn't you pull them out of the water? Why should that be criminalized?
And can you fathom the motivations of the Greek authorities?
The really strange thing is, as you mentioned, that the crimes are very heinous. And if the authorities really thought we were these heinous criminals, then wouldn't they want us in post-conviction prison as quickly as possible? Wouldn't they want the trial as soon as possible so that we could finally be in jail? The irony is that for the past 7 years, it is we, the defendants, the supposed criminals, who have been begging, pushing for a trial, saying, let's do this, let's hear those facts, let's hear that evidence. And it wasn't until yesterday, finally, that even the prosecutor recommended that the defendants, that we should be acquitted, because there is nothing at all that we have done wrong. And so I assume that the reason that we've had this really long delay, the reason that the trial has ended in an acquittal, is because the police never, I suspect, thought we were actually guilty. I think what they wanted to do was to scare people away from the shoreline. And unfortunately, that has been achieved, because the day after I was put into prison all those years ago, every search and rescue organization on this part of the island where we had volunteered, and indeed across the island now, and indeed across Greece and in fact Europe now, there are fewer search and rescuers, and there are more people at risk of drowning as a consequence. And I believe that's precisely what was intended, and that is exactly the consequence.
What was it like in court last evening when you were acquitted, you and the other aid workers? What was the atmosphere like? The Irish Examiner reports that the verdict was met with cheers, with tears, and with cries of jubilation.
It was. Do you know what's so strange is that facing 20 years in prison and going through this nightmare has, in some ways, been so heartwarming. I have never felt less lonely. And that was just confirmed when we were finally acquitted and we stood up and there was shouts and laughter and tears, and it was so lovely. And in fact, I wonder if my family were perhaps a little bit hoping that we would be convicted, because I had convinced everyone that if we win, we swim. And of course, when we were then acquitted, they all had to go swimming with me, and they weren't particularly happy about it, I think. But yeah, it has been so, emotionally confusing. I've been terrified for the past 7 years, but also so happy. And it was, in fact, I should say, the people of Kerry and Cork had initially put pressure on. I mean, at first, the media here in Greece and elsewhere had really reported as though we were these criminals. And it was folks at home who had written to politicians, who had raised this issue with human rights organizations. And that's what brought the initial momentum. That's when we were eventually released from pretrial detention, and it is that support that has allowed us to fundraise, to afford our fantastic legal team, and it is one reason why we're not behind bars today.
That support you got from Kerry, from Castle Gregory, from Cork, from other places across the country.
Exactly. And so I'm immensely grateful.
Will you be coming back to Castle Gregory? What was it like reuniting with your mother? I mean, I can't imagine the level of emotion, or maybe you're possibly still processing it, because you were only finally acquitted yesterday evening, so maybe it still feels rather surreal that this 7-year ordeal has finally come to an end.
Yeah, well, I think that's precisely right. I'm still a little bit confused about it. It hasn't fully settled in. I think, as I mentioned, you know, I'm obviously delighted, and on the other hand, I don't want to be too bleak about things, but it's also quite upsetting that in the end, when the police commander, who is the person, the primary prosecution witness, is the secret police commander who got the ball rolling on this entire prosecution, it's because of what he claims we did that we ended up being prosecuted. When after 7 years, he finally had to give us his evidence, he finally had to state exactly what he thought. He said nothing more than, well, you used WhatsApp, and therefore they must be guilty, even though he himself admitted to using WhatsApp. He said we were guilty of smuggling, even though the Coast Guard had said to him that we cooperated, which is precisely what we had been saying the entire time. And so it was upsetting that it has taken 7 years to resolve something that honestly, honestly could have been resolved if that secret police commander, before he got this prosecution rolling, had just called up his counterpart in the Coast Guard and asked, did they ever cooperate with you? And he would have said yes, and therefore the entire thing would have fallen away. But we've had to wait 7 years, spend tens of thousands of euro, and people have drowned because of less search and rescue, all because of this stupid prosecution.
And this has overshadowed most of your 20s.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me personally, I've been, you know, I'm now much older than I would have hoped to be when I'm finally getting, you know, a job off the ground. Now I'll be in a position, hopefully, to have a family. That was a pathway closed to me until now, because what kind of father would I be if I were in prison? But yeah, now things can hopefully start.
I was just thinking, Sean, that you and the other aid workers who came to Greece around that time, 2016, 2017, 2018, you were all motivated by that idealistic desire to help at a time when there were all these people coming from Greece fleeing civil war there. And I think everyone would remember what happened, the tragedy, and it seems unfair to single out one death, but I think everyone will always remember the death of 2-year-old Alan Kurdi, who was from Syria, whose image made global headlines after he drowned in September 2015, and part of that mass of Syrian refugees trying to reach Europe from Turkey at that time, given the civil war in Turkey, given the civil war, I should say, in Syria. At the time, there was shock, there was horror, there was like how this little boy the death of that little boy symbolized the horrific deaths, the drownings, the horrible life of people trying to escape war and civil war and strife and persecution. But that feeling has ebbed away, I think, and you can see all over Europe that migrant policies have hardened. I mean, what would your own views be about how it is a lot more difficult now for people to get sanctuary or to get refugee or asylum seeker status in, or to get refugee status in EU countries, of course, including Ireland? What do you make of that change over the past decade?
Yeah, I think your observation is absolutely right. We have seen a move away from a more, I suppose, open society that views immigration and particularly refuge as a right, and views it now more as a burden. And you know, I think what I try to do is be guided by what the rule of law says, and it's quite simple. The rule of law is really clear on this point. People have a right to life, and we have an obligation to try and uphold that right. People have a right to seek asylum. If one is in danger in a country, they have a right to leave it, and we have a responsibility to ensure that they aren't suffering. And of course, we also have an obligation under, for example, the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea to provide assistance to people who are in distress out at sea. And that law is in fact very clear. It specifies that it doesn't matter if you don't have the right passport, it doesn't matter if you don't have the right visa, it doesn't matter who you are, you don't deserve to drown. And my sense is that we should be followed by those basic laws, those rules of law. But I think some people are less guided by the rule of law and are more guided by fear. And you know what? I think that's sometimes understandable. Obviously, my politics are probably quite clear to people. I think that people shouldn't be abandoned to drown. I think they should have a right to claim asylum. But I understand that some people are frustrated by what appears to be uncontrolled migration. I don't necessarily agree with that observation, but I can see that people are afraid of it. And I think it's right for society to have that conversation about whom do we help and in what circumstances, or how helpful can we be? I understand that there's a need to have that conversation, but what I do not understand is why we are presently determining the value of someone by whether or not they survive a horrifying journey across a very long piece of sea while they're exercising their right to seek asylum. We should never question whether someone has a right to life. And that is what we're doing when we criminalize search and rescue. We're effectively saying their lives are worth less. And whether or not we think that a Syrian family deserves to be housed in Ireland, surely we can agree, all of us, that Syrian family doesn't deserve to drown, or another family, because no family deserves to drown. No Irish family should be abandoned to drown.
Well said, Sean. And we wish you all the very, very best. And thank you for taking time to talk to us this morning, because you have a lot of people you want to reunite with and get your head around a lot of things and the new opportunities ahead of you. One final question. Will you be coming back to Castle Gregory, to Kerry soon? What's the plan there? A lot of people will want to be welcoming you back.
You bet. I have many, many people to thank and to take out for a pint after all these years of support. Although I must get back to London to work for a little bit, otherwise I might lose my job. But certainly, I am going to be back in the summer and then definitely in the winter. Kerry's always going to be home for me.
Sean, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wishing you the very best of everything. We've been speaking there to Sean Binder from Castle Gregory, who grew up in Castle Gregory. He yesterday was acquitted of all charges by a Greek court. Charges that hung over him for almost a decade now, including money laundering and smuggling. And Sean was standing trial at the Court of Appeal there in Lesvos, along with 23 other migrant rescue volunteers. Amnesty said Sean Binder's human rights had been violated, and that defending human rights should be protected and celebrated, not punished. The time now on Radio Kerry is 24 minutes to 10. Now, we return to the story that we opened Radio Kerry with this morning, the Kerry Today Show with this morning, the acquittal, the Greek court's acquittal of Sean Binder from Castle Gregory of charges against him, including money laundering and smuggling. Sean, who grew up in Castle Gregory, was standing trial at the Court of Appeal in Lesvos, along with 23 other migrant rescue volunteers. We're joined on the line now by Rhys de Grave. I hope I have your name pronounced right. Please correct me if I haven't, Rhys, Executive Director of Amnesty Belgium, who was at Sean's trial in Lesvos and has been following it since it began in 2018. Rhys joins us on the line from Mytilene in Greece. Rhys, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Can you clarify how I pronounced your name? And I'm sorry if I've made a total dog's dinner of it.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. You did perfectly. So it's Rhys. Yes, perfect. Yeah, thanks for having
me. Rhys de Grave, is it?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, great. Look, Rhys, thank you so much for joining us from Greece. Amnesty's response to the acquittal of Sean, the acquittal of charges against Sean Binder, Sean, a humanitarian worker who went to Greece at the height of the migrant crisis to help save lives. As he said, he wanted to use his skills learned on the beach in Castle Gregory as a swimmer and rescuer to help if needed. What is your response to the decision, almost a decade after this started, that Sean has been acquitted of all these charges?
Yes. I've met Sean for the first time in 2019, so very shortly after he was arrested, and then this ordeal started. So it's almost 8 years this has been going on. I think I can summarize our reaction in a word that I heard quite a lot after the verdict yesterday, and it's bittersweet. I think it's, of course, a huge relief for everyone involved, but it has a bitter taste because this trial never should have happened. And during the day, Sean and the other defendants, they took the stand and they testified about the impact of this ordeal on their lives, on their families, on their careers, on their psychological health. And that was just heartbreaking, because from the beginning, we have been saying that these charges were baseless, that this trial shouldn't happen. But still, it dragged on for 8 years. And Yesterday, not only the judge said that the charges were baseless, but actually also the prosecution said there was no case, there was no proof, there was no evidence, which kind of strengthened that point of view that it never should have happened. But yeah, it was also really a moment of relief and joy, like seeing, there's nothing like seeing justice prevail, I would say. And so that was really, really wonderful to see for all the people involved. For Sean, for his mom, for his family, for his friends. And broader than that, we think it's quite a strong and positive signal towards Greece and other European countries, to civil society in these countries, that saving lives is the right thing to do. It's a moral and legal obligation. It's not a crime. That's a very clear signal. And also to the authorities that those who are saving lives, they should be celebrated and protected and not be prosecuted. And we hope that signal is really clearly heard beyond the story of Sean, of the others. It's of a huge significance for us.
Now, do you want the Greek authorities to investigate as to how this happened? As to how someone like Sean, and he was acquitted of all charges, and indeed the other aid workers, that they were acquitted of these charges, some of them heinous, people smuggling, and why this was allowed to drag on for almost a decade. Would you like the Greek authorities to set up an investigation into all of this?
Well, we would definitely want the Greek authorities and other European authorities, for that matter, to really, that is really starts a deep reflection on their policies. We really would want that, and that they change the course, that they protect and celebrate those saving lives and no longer prosecute them, because we cannot forget that this case was not the only one. There are other cases going on in Italy, in France, and so on, and other cases in Greece. So we hope it will really kind of trigger a reflection and a change of course of the policies in Greece and in other states.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Radio Kerry. We've been speaking to Wies de Graaf, who's executive director of Amnesty Belgium, who was at Sean Binder's trial in Lesbos in Greece.